الحمد لله نحمده ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we meet again on this blessed day of Yom al-Jum'ah, continuing from last Friday, if you remember, we were talking about the element of shukr, giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being an abdan shakura, and being a thankful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that context, we did not complete off, and we said part two will be today, inshallah. For those of you who were not here last Friday, the way we can summarize it is that last Friday we laid down the foundations of shukr, of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of recognizing. And one of the things that was the pinpoint of the whole of last Friday was that thanks, or giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not just talk or lip service. Rather, it has to be shown physically, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly said it in Surah Sabah, verse 13, Surah 34, regarding Dawood alayhi salam and his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَعُودَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you want to show shukr, you want to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator, your master, to know that you are a thankful slave of Allah, show it in physical. اعمل. It is a fa'al that is fa'al amr, and it is an obligatory fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly, not hinting or implying, clearly indicating that when a person has to be thankful, they have to be thankful in their behavior, in their character, in their manners, in action, when they interact, when they work, the way everything is part of being thanks. I request the brothers, they can come forward, inshallah, and fill up the first lines, and there'll be people coming later. So inshallah, keeping that in mind, we say we'll continue today that giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a practical effort. Just saying from the tongue Alhamdulillah is not enough. It's the basic, that at least a person is being thankful by saying Alhamdulillah. At least a person is conscientious and apprehensive of the fact that I have to give thanks to Allah. But that is the bare minimum, saying Alhamdulillah, shukr ya Allah, thank you Allah for the blessing. That's just basic. But rather we see that we have to show in amal, and that's why we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Bani Israel, Surah 17, verse 19, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever desires the Akhirah. A thankful slave, a thankful person is one, a thankful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who has the niyyah, intention, desire, motivation for Akhirah. In other words, they're intertwined, interrelated to each other. If someone doesn't desire the Akhirah, you won't find them thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings Allah has given. And if somebody desires the Akhirah, they will always try their best and strive the most to work for that Akhirah by giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just verbally and physically, but also showing it in their actions, in their behavior, in their character, in their personality. You can say, yes, this is a thanking slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He or she truly recognizes and understands the bestowing of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah is saying. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ. Whoever desires the Akhirah, what should they do? وَسَعَى لَهَا. And then they work for it. سَعَى يَسْعُهُ means to work, to go after it. If somebody tells you that there's a job over here and you have no job, you're looking for a job, what would you do? This is exactly the word from the Quran you would do. سَعَى. Yes, oh. You will rush and race to get that job. Because you know the value of job. Why? Because you have been out of job for such a long time. That is what Allah's mother is trying to inculcate in our mindset, in our soul, this feeling in this area, that look, if you really understand truly vision, Akhirah, you will have a proper guideline. You will be working towards it. You won't be in dormancy. You won't be stagnant and isolated. You won't be just sitting on your hand. Yes, somebody's going to come and do the work. I don't need to worry about it. There is a lot of Muslims. Somebody will do it. This attitude is not the attitude of one who sa'a ila al-akhirah. This is not the attitude of one who is a thankful slave of Allah's one. Just the fact of the matter that we can gather under a roof and pray every Jummah and taking this a blessing as a granted, taking it for granted, this Allah SWT is warning that don't take anything for granted. If you remember last Friday I told you that even I learned a lesson in coming all the time over here that for two Fridays Allah SWT back to back simultaneously stopped me from coming. It was Allah's order. Because I took it for granted if you leave at such and such time and you get there at such and such time, everything is fine. But nobody knows. Maybe there's a big accident, and even if you leave with a lot of time in space, you still can't get there unless Allah wishes for you to come here. Nobody comes and speaks by their own will. Allah chooses who has to speak, where they have to speak. Keeping just that small example in mind, and keeping the history of the community in mind, that this group used to meet at another place, at another occasion, before, in a gas station on top, and that was a blessing from Allah to pray, and then that was taken away. Did we get hurt? In a way we did. But then look at the blessing in disguise, that we have a better place and a bigger place. But if we remain in this kind of attitude that somebody else will have to do the work, then wallahi, brothers and sisters, we are slowly diminishing our iman, because iman is something that makes a person proactive, to take initiative, to participate, to activate their soul and say, yes, what khidmah? This khidmah. If somebody is working here for the sake of Allah SWT, they're only working for the sake of Allah SWT. They have no personal desire. They have no personal goal or ambitions. They have no personal mandate to achieve something. When people who go out of their way, out of their daily life and schedule, try to arrange for others to be able to pray on a blessed day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, is khalisan li wajh Allah SWT, for the face of Allah, for the river of Allah SWT. And that is why we should participate in that as being a abdan shakur. If you remember last Friday we said that Sittara Aisha, she asked the Prophet that all your sins are forgiven and yet you go through all this to swell your leg, your ankle gets blown like a football and it's getting swelling for all of this. Why? What did he reply? He said, Ala akunu abdan shakura, oh my beloved wife Aisha, shall I not be a thankful slave of Allah? We have the example of role model Rasulullah in front of our eyes. And yet we, every Friday to Friday, we take things for granted. It's about time, it's high time that we wake up and join and coordinate and cooperate and take initiative in some active work. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will ask each one of us over here who've been praying Friday and who intend to pray future, what did you do for the Muslim Ummah community in your area? Did you at least strive your best to establish a masjid, a mosque? To strive your best to establish a community learning center? Did you at least try your utmost best to establish a school for these young Muslims who need to be cultured into the nurturing of Islam? And that is what Allah is saying. That if you have the goal of Akhirah, you would be doing it. If you don't have any desire for Akhirah, then you'll be doing as everybody does. Comes, prays Jummah, makes dua and leaves. Comes, prays Jummah, makes dua and leave. This is the attitude not described in this ayah. The ayah says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he is a believer, فَأُولَٰئِكَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Then yes, they're striving, they're working, their effort, their hard work, everything of theirs, their sweat, their blood, their time, everything is a mashkura, a way of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By someone volunteering to build a masjid, it's a way of giving thanks to Allah, that Allah, thank you for that opportunity to put this forehead on every Jummah for at least a few minutes on the floor to give thanks to you. This is a way, this is what Allah is teaching us in this ayah. And remember, Allah's mother also warned us, like we said last time, that if people become complacent, relaxed in the attitude, that things are going smooth, we come and pray, we don't need to worry about other things. We don't need to worry about other activities. We just get to pray Jummah, we pray Taraweeh, we get Eid al-Adha, that's enough. What else do we want to ask? If someone gets this complacency, this is a danger sign. Because today, part two, what I wanted to talk about is, when Allah gets upset, Allah takes our imtihan, ikhtibar. Allah tests us. He tests us by giving ni'mah, He tests us by taking away ni'mah. He tested this community before by letting them an opportunity to pray in front of a, in top of a gas station, but someone did something wrong, and so then Allah SWT took that opportunity away. But then gave that same community another opportunity, hey, pray in another place. And they'll be praying. But now it's time to take initiative for the next step. And that is why I remind us ourselves of this hadith of Rasulullah, which is in Bukhari and Muslim. It's a long one, but we'll try to summarize here, as this is part two. In this, the Prophet ﷺ told us that from the Qawm of Bani Israel, and this hadith is narrated by Abu Hurairah, that in the Qawm of Bani Israel there were three men, three different individuals. Each one of them had something deficient, something that was naqis. The Arabic word of naqis means something that is minus, something that was missing. You know, when you miss something, then you realize the ahamiyah, the value, the importance, because you're missing it. If you have no job, you know the value of job. If you have no children, you know the value of children. If you have no wife, you know the value of marriage. If you have nothing, you have no parents, you know the value of parents. When you miss something, brothers and sisters, Allah is driving the point straight very easily. But the real test of iman is when you're enjoying something. You have children, you have parents, you have a job, you have the blessing, you have the ni'mah, you're enjoying everything, and still you realize the importance of that ni'mah. That is the success of giving shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this story, pay very attention, especially those of you young youth, pay attention to this story, because there's a big lesson that Rasulullah was giving to all of us, and to the Sahaba who was sitting around him, and he was giving them this. Why did the Prophet choose to give a story? Did he like telling stories? No. For ibrah, for lesson, for opening our eyes up, for making us realize that Muslimin, don't sleep, don't get into slumber, don't get lazy and relaxed and complacent when you are enjoying the blessings of Allah. And the story is that he said from Qawm Bani Israel, from the nation and tribe and people of Bani Israel, there were three people who had, each one of them had something naqis, missing. First of them, he was a leper. He had a skin disease, leprosy. We all know that from medical science. The second one was bald, didn't have any hair. And the third one was blind, could not see. So Allah sent an angel to each one of these three people. And the angel came to the first one, to the one that was with the skin disease and poor. And each one of them were poor. And the angel asked this individual that had leprosy and leper, he said, what do you want? He said, my only wish is that Allah take away this, what makes me loathsome to people. What makes me karah, yakrahun an-nas. People, they dislike me. They don't like to come near me because I have this disease, skin disease, leprosy. So my wish is that Allah take this away. And so the angel, by the permission of Allah and the miracle, he rubbed on that person and the whole disease went. He's now corrected. He's now perfect. Perfect human being, insan. He said, what else do you want, O individual? The angel asked. And the person, he said, I have nothing, I'm poor and pauper, poverty, miskeen, gharib, faqir. So what do you want? He said, I wish I had a she-camel that was pregnant so that it can have more generations and more children. So the angel, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessed that individual with a she-camel, naqa, and that gave birth to a small baby camel. And then he had his own blessings. The whole cattle of camels continued. End of story of part one. Second individual, as the Prophet ﷺ says, the angel was then sent by Allah to the second one, who was who? One who had no hair, bald. And he asked him, the angel asked that person, what is it that you desire? He said, I want something that people have and people make fun of me. So I want some hair. And so the angel rubbed on his head, and with the miracle and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had the hair. He said, the angel asked him again, what else do you want? And he repeated the same thing, that I'm poor and pauper and poverty, miskeen, gharib, faqir. And so therefore I wish I have a cow which can give birth and have a cattle. So the angel, with the permission of Allah and the miracle, blessed him with a cow that gave birth to a small calf. And he began to enjoy the luxuries, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on forward, he came to the third person. The angel came to the third person who was blind. أَحْمَى لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ لَا يَعْرِفُ الدُّنْيَا. The angel exactly came to him and asked him, what do you want? He said, I don't know life. Brothers, sisters, we take these two eyes for granted. We don't value it sometimes. We use these eyes for a lot of negative things. As weak believers, as weak mu'mineen, imagine the people who don't have eyes. Well, they have eyes, but they don't have any light in it. Whenever you see a blind man, you don't see anything empty over here. You see the eyeball over there. But the eye cannot see anything. Qudra of Allah. It's something that Allah is showing His power and magnitude. Like, don't take it for granted that if you are born in this world with two eyeballs in your eye, that you will see. There are many children who are born blind or nearly blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet in this hadith, in this narration, is making us realize that don't take anything for granted. Don't even take your life for granted. Don't even take your breath for granted. Oh, I'm breathing, I'm healthy, mashallah. You know, sometimes the shaitan, he puts whispers in our mind. And look, I haven't been sick for the last 5-10 years. Look, people have diabetes, they have high blood pressure, they have cholesterol, they have that. Alhamdulillah, look, I am... Well, are you doing something to protect it? Because any moment, with the flick of a second, something can happen and the individual will get diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol and whatnot. Artery getting clogged. Sometimes the shaitan puts you to this complacency, relaxation, soothing you, like a mother sleeping her child off. You know, relax, sleep. The night is long. This is the attitude of shaitan. Don't worry of working. Don't worry of giving thanks. You have the eyesight. You have the healthy body. So the angel asked him, what do you want? He said, I want to see life. I don't know what is black and white. I don't know what people look like. I don't know what is this dunya like. I never saw this dunya. And we are seeing this dunya day and night, and there are things in this dunya that Allah prohibited us from seeing, and yet we see it. Especially I address the youngsters, because misuse of eyes happens a lot in teenager years. We all know that, we went through that. Once you get older, you tend to, like they say, mature and make your nafs control better. But when you are young, you're more vulnerable to shaitan. And shaitan attacks. The first thing that shaitan attacks with young Muslims is to misuse and abuse the eyesight. So I encourage highly to the youth and youngsters, be mindful that how you use these eyes. Because here is a story of someone who did not see life, who did not know life. And the angel asking him, what do you want? He said, I want to see life. Can you bless me with eyesight? I have eyes, but I can't see. The angel rubbed his eyes by the permission of Allah and the miracle of Allah. This person got the eyesight. He began to see things around. And the angel asked him, what else do you want? He said, I want a sheep or a goat that is pregnant that can give me further children and cow. And so the miracle blessed was blessed with him. The angel, by the miracle of Allah, blessed him with this. And he went on. As the Prophet ﷺ continued in the hadith, said, some years passed by, and each one of these individuals who were removed from something that was naqis, each one of them were removed from their deficiencies, Allah, to test each one of them, sent that same angel back again, but now in the form of human being. And we know from our aqidah that Allah can choose to send angels in the form of human being, as Jibreel ﷺ came one time to the Prophet ﷺ in the form of human being. This human being form that the angel came, he came as a poor man, whose back is bent, he's with a stick, and he's very old, his clothes are dirty and shabby and torn, and he's coming as a very impoverished man. He comes to the first person. And who was the first person? The leper, the one who had the disease. And he asked him. He said, look, I first of all tawakkal on Allah, I depend on Allah, and after him I depend on you. And I ask you to give me or give something of what Allah has blessed you with, because for surely I am very poor and I'm in need of dire help. So that person says, no, I have a lot of debts to pay. I have a lot of debts to pay. And what you see over here is already, I have to use that to pay other people's debts. Oh, I can't give you anything. Sorry. So the angel who was in the form of man, he said, wait a second. I think I remember you. Were you not a person who had leprosy? And who had nothing, who was poor? And Allah for his rahmah and ni'mah blessed you with this? Subhanallah, do you know what that person said to the human being form of angel? He said, no. I inherited this from my parents, grandparents, from my family generation. This is not something that I received. This is what we call kufr of ni'mah. If you you remember, last Friday I already told you about what is the issue of kufr of ni'mah. Because Allah said in Surah Ibrahim, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ. This is the kufr of ni'mah. Denying that what you receive is not from Allah, but from your own. And sometimes, how is this related to you and me in 2004? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, it happens from us. You are a very good engineer, a good accountant, a good businessman, a good doctor, a good teacher, a good whatever profession you are. Whatever you do, you are a master at that. You say, this is my skill. This is my knowledge. This is my work. I went to this. I went to Cornell, MIT, Oxford. I earned this degree. I earned this skill. I earned this caliber. It is mine. This is wrong. This is not the attitude of Abdan Shakura. This is the attitude of Abdan Kafura. Yukfur Rahmatullah. Because it was the Rahmah of Allah that He facilitated for you to go to those universities, learn what you had to learn, and master that. And this is exactly what that person was saying for Bani Israel. This is my inheritance. I inherited this. I can't give you. In spite of that angel in the uniform reminding him. When someone is reminding you, brother, sister, remember what Allah has given you. Give us some of what Allah has given you. In faith, fi sabilillah, why withhold something that has come from Allah? If we begin to think that my salaries and my profits in businesses and my accumulations is my money, is that I earned it, we are wallahi wrong. Because Allah blessed us with. And when it comes to Friday, or when it comes to Ramadan, or when it comes to Eid, or when it comes to see that box, our eyes pass by that box and we say, someone else will put it in that box. Why should I put that $1 or $5 or $10 or $20 bill? Allah doesn't ask for huge or big. What was this angel asking? Give me some. He didn't say give me all your head, give me some. He said, no. The first thing he said, I have debts. Isn't that what we say? When someone stands here and says, brother, please help us, donate us, we want to build a masjid. Oh, I have my college tuition for my eldest child to prepare for. I have to prepare for that insurance premium that's coming up next month. Shaitan is reminding of debts. And that is what's going on in the mind of this person. We ask the brothers to come forward, inshallah. There's some people more coming. So try to squeeze in. There's a lot of space over here. So the angel said that for surely you have lied. فَأَنْتَ كَذَّاب وَبِمَا كَذَّبْتَ. And for what you have lied, I ask Allah, I invoke Allah to snatch and take away what He has blessed you. And within seconds, he came back to leprosy. So the same Allah who can change the miracle, that skin of that person, He showed him that look, if you lie, and if you deny, if you reject the rahmah of Allah, the ni'mah of Allah, in seconds, not a day, not a week, not a month, not even an hour, in seconds, things can change. When people begin to have this feeling of infatuation of big, ana shay, and ana here, that I have this six-figure job, I have this seven-figure job, I'm something. I got this luxurious condominium. I got this luxurious mansion. I earned it. When people begin to this feeling, it takes seconds that the next morning you go there, you have a pink slip. And then where does that feeling go? Now you are back to nothing. Now you're on the road, you're thinking, I have to save at least the most. My mortgage payment, my this payment, my car payment, my insurance. Things begin to boil down in the brain in a matter of seconds. Because Monday morning the pink slip was there. But Sunday night the same person was thinking, MashaAllah, I have enough to last me 10 years. This is exactly the feeling that Rasulullah is telling us. Ya mu'mineen, learn the lesson from Bani Israel. Learn the lesson from these three people in Bani Israel. That the first person was leper, he was poor, he was blessed. And look how he rejected the ni'mah of Allah by saying, it is my acquisition. So on and so forth, he went to the next person. The next person, as we know, who was bald. He got a cattle, cow and everything. Same thing he said to him, in the form of a poor, poverty, human being, old man, crooked. He said, first of all, I make tawakkul Allah. There's a message in this hadith also. He didn't say, I rely on you, I depend on you. Like sometimes, you know, some brothers, they make mistake. They stand up and say, brothers, we're relying on you. No. I tawakkul Allah first. Awwalan. We don't rely on human beings. We don't rely on human beings, money or people or anything. We rely on Allah the first and foremost. And because we rely on Allah, so Allah told us to take by asbab. We see the asbab in front, so the people ask, please brother, make sure you don't neglect the box on the way out. Because who knows, maybe tonight, today is maybe the last day for some people to be even receiving the rizq of Allah. Nobody knows. I'm not saying, well, a'yadu billah, that somebody's going to lose, but I'm saying, nobody knows. Nobody knows ilm al-ghayb. Who knows? From Friday to Friday, things can change miraculously for people. So maybe because as we see that the Prophet continuously and timelessly kept on telling in his teachings that the sadaqat yubid al-sayyad, sadaqat yubid al-bala. The sadaqah that we give, even a penny, it removes, it drives away the bala from Allah, the imtihan, the examination from Allah, the calamities, the things. So why stop sadaqah? Only because of shaitan. So the Prophet said that this person asked him again, I mean the old man in the form of the angel in the form of human being, he asked him, and this person said, oh, you know, I have also debts to pay. I have some people coming next week. I have to use this carol to pay them off. So the angel in the form of human being said, okay, at least I remember that one time you were bald and you are nothing. I think you are that same person who was blessed by Allah. He repeated the same thing that the first one, his predecessor, repeated. He said, no, my father, he left for me all this. I inherited this cattle. And the hair, I always had hair. Totally rejected. He had no hair, he was a bald. But he said, I had hair. So the angel says, فَأَنْتَ كَذَّبْ, you are a liar. وَبِمَا كَذَّبْتَ, and for what you have lied, I invoke Allah to snatch away all the blessings you have. And within seconds, the hair went back again, the cattle went away again. And then he could see. And he's back to that poor kind of clothes. Even his clothes changed, as the narration says. And when he saw that, he began to cry. But it's too late. Brothers and sisters, when we lose a job, it's too late to cry. We should look on the positive side. Immediately let's make tawbah. Maybe it's an imtihan from Allah that I've lost my job. Maybe it's a test from Allah to test my iman more. Maybe Allah is driving me a lesson, teaching me something. That have I been negligent to give shukr to Allah? Allah takes back things only when we become unthankful. And here is a message from Rasulullah ﷺ that when people become unthankful, Allah takes it away. That's the same thing that Allah, we said in last Friday about the same topic in Surah Nisa, verse 127. Allah said very clearly in that ayah, مَا يَفْعَى اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What will Allah do by punishing you? One of the ways of punishing, taking away the blessing, the ni'mah we may have. What will Allah achieve by taking away the ni'mah, blessing? إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. If you only believe and give thanks to Allah, you can enjoy the luxuries and lavish of Allah. Provided you keep on having the conscientious in your mind, in your brain, I have to give thanks. I owe thanks to Allah. Not just lip service, but action. Like Allah said, hey, أَمَلُوا آلَ دَعُودَ شُكْرًا بَلِلَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. These ayats are reminding us that we have to be a practical, thankful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming to the end of the story, the angel came in the form of a human being, old man, to the third person. And if you remember, the third person was one who didn't have eyes or eyesight. Blind. He came to him. He said, I trust on Allah, talk on Allah first, and then on you that you may help me. I'm a poor man. I have nothing. I'm destitute. Can you help me at least something? I see that Allah has blessed you a lot. You know what this blind, so now he's seeing, but the ex-blind man, what he said? He said, I see you a very old, poor man. And you know, all this I have is from the ni'mah blessing of Allah. So take what you want and leave what you want. There's a message, there's a hikmah, wisdom in this wording also. He didn't say, take all of it. All of this is from Allah, just take everything. No, he said, take what you want, oh my brother, leave what you want, for this is only from Allah. Rasulullah is trying to teach us that when there is something free, when somebody offers something free, don't rush to grab it and let your greed out, because greed is a negative behavior. It's a negative element embedded in the soul. We have to crush it. When somebody says something is free, don't engulf it. Don't overload yourself. Don't let your greed out and compile everything and don't leave anything for else. He said to this old man, take what you want and leave what you want. Because if he leaves something, maybe some other poor man will come, he will give something more. But if this poor man takes anything, he won't get left anything to give someone else. So there's a message of Rasulullah in this hadith. He says, look, in our iman, in our shukr, we have to also be mindful that we have to tame our nafs, control our nafs. That once we find something free, doesn't mean we rush to it and just get everything. And everybody else is with empty hands standing, mashallah. You were the first in the line. Khalas, you took everything. This is the Muslim attitude, unfortunately today. If they actually majjarim, free, Allah ta'alu, khalas. The ta'ala, the table is empty before even the third person gets there. Why? Because it's free. In this hadith of Rasulullah, he's teaching us a message. That when you learn of something free, Take what is enough for you. Because what did he say? خُذْ مَا يَكْفِيكَ. مَا يَكْفِيكَ. Meaning what satisfies you, what is sufficient for you. Just take what is sufficing for you. Don't grab, oh, I want to take it for the next whole year. You know, if there's free orange juice sitting on the table, brothers, please take all the orange juice. It's free. Somebody has donated. Okay, that means the expiry date is June 2005. So let me take all the orange juice that my family needs till June. And the rest of the brothers, they're empty-handed. No, no. Hadith of Rasulullah saying, what you take on a regular basis for a weekly basis for your family, take two or one bottle and leave some for the others. The issue of sadaqah, issue of sacrifice, issue of giving something back to the community. And that is what we're here gathered for on this special occasion that Allah has given us off today from our work to reflect and ponder. What has Allah given us? A beautiful community, a beautiful place to pray Jum'ah. It's about time that this community gets up and makes that commitment to Allah, not to any individual in this room, but to Allah, that, oh Allah, I will work for you, I will give thanks to you by trying to strive to build a masjid so that my grandson, my great-grandson can give thanks that there was a grandfather of mine who came to this area of Bud Lake and who did something, who sacrificed his mehna, his skill, his mal, his what, his everything for the sake of Allah. Why? Because he was Abdan Shakura. And same thing for the sisters who should not be left behind. They can motivate and push the males and the husbands and the brothers and the fathers towards community service. And that is what Allah is saying. So what did the angel in the form of human being say back to him? He said, for surely you were tested, O human being. Keep what you have and enjoy the blessings of Allah. For I don't need anything from you. I was sent as a test from Allah, and you have been passed the test, and Allah is going to bless you more. This is the moral of the story. Two people, the leper, the bald man, failed the test. And the blind man, he passed the test. He gets to keep his eyesight. He can see for the rest of the world. Because if he was Abdan Kafura, Kufr of Na'ma, he would have lost his eyesight again. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Salatu Salaam Rasul Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahabi wa sunnah bin sunnati liyumuddin amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, yes, the story in listening, in saying, motivates us, brings us the enthusiasm and motivation. But I plead and request and beseech you, as a slave of Allah SWT, that do not leave today before picking up a membership form and making at least a motivation in your heart, I will do something for Allah. Not for the center or community or this. I'm doing it first and foremost for Allah. Because who knows, even 1 hour, 1 minute that you spent for the khidmah of Allah SWT and His deen on this earth, that could be a source of najat min azab an-nar. You don't know what act Allah really loves that. One drop of sweat that comes out because you did something for the community. You gave back. You did not sit back and relax and be complacent. Someone else is their job to build a masjid. Someone else is their job to elect someone. Someone else is their job to do community service. And remember that when we select people for the sake of being a council or a committee or something to run the affairs, we should be mindful that we choose someone who has taqwa. But then you'd say, wait a second, brother. I don't know someone's heart. I don't dwell into their heart and iman. I don't know how much someone taqwa has. Allah has given us a criterion for taqwa. And Allah SWT tells us that in Surah Al-Imran, Surah 3, verse 23, Allah SWT says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. The one you see has some sort of taqwa, you see from their attitude, behavior, manners, etiquettes, akhlaq, interactions, dealings of shukr. Because with shukr comes taqwa. بَلِلَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah said in the Quran, be, but no, worship Allah SWT, do ibadah of Allah SWT, and be actively from the thankful slaves of Allah. When you see someone and they remind you of Allah, that is the biggest shahada that they should be selected or elected for something. Because they're an abdan shakur. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa of Allah in your heart, in your mind and soul, so that you can be thankful to Allah. Because when somebody is thankful to Allah, they are really implying they have taqwa. They're not showing off, they're not trying to do izhar and publicize. But Allah is saying, you want to know if someone has taqwa, look to their attitude, look to their akhlaq, look to the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they wear dresses, the way they do everything, their family life, their interaction. This is taqwa. And remember, because why is this taqwa? This is a characteristic of someone who's giving shukr. Abdan shakura. La'allakum tashkurun. Shukr. Shukr is such a paramount concept in the tawheed of the concept of our deen, is that everything boils down to shukr. If someone is a thankful person, he or she must be abiding by the rules and regulations of Allah. If somebody is unthankful to Allah, they may not even remember Allah illa qaleel. وَقَلِيلُ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Allah says that. Allah says that very clearly in the Quran. وَقَلِيلُ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very few of my ibad are truly thankful. Thankful to the meaning of it, to the word of it. Why? Because this issue of shukr is the first thing that shaitan attacks us. Shaitan will not come and say, you know, yes, he will come and do to make you lose your salah, your psalm. But he will not come and try to destroy your ibadat right away. The first thing that shaitan ingests and invests a poison in our mind and soul and heart is through not being a thankful slave of Allah. How? Through character, manners. Allah SWT tells us in Surah Araf, and we finish with this inshallah. In verse 17, Surah Araf, Allah SWT talks about shaitan, that he will say, he said that he will come, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُوا أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shukr. Because ikhlas and shukr is coordinated, is twins. Tu'aman. Huma tu'aman. Al-ikhlas. Ikhlas lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being sincere and sincere to Allah is being thankful towards Allah. Being purely for Allah is being thankful for Allah. And that's why in two different places in the Quran, in Surah Sa'd, in Surah 38, over there, Allah says that shaitan said that I will have no authority over your slaves of Allah, except those who are not mukhlis. Meaning he can attack anyone, illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlisin. Ibad Allah alladhina andum ikhlas, mukhlis, mukhlisan lahuddin. فَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah says in Surah Zumar, that worship Allah sincerely and purely for Allah. Whatever somebody does to coordinate, to make a masjid, to make a center, to facilitate Salatul Eid or Salatul Jummah, whatever somebody is doing خَالِصًا لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. مُخْلِصًا لِلَّهِ. And also being شُكْر لِلَّهِ شَاكِر. Because that's what shaitan says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. وَلَتَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. That you will not see أَكْثَرَهُمْ مَعْظَمُهُمْ. Many of them, majority of them, you will not see that they are shakirin lillah. They are very unthankful because shaitan has engulfed them and attacked them. So I close with this, brothers and sisters, with this thinking that Allah tells us to be a thankful slave of Allah. Shukr, ikhlas, wa taqwa, wa ibadah, all these are interconnected. You can't separate one from the other. So giving thanks to Allah is mandatory upon us. And I say that on your way out, make sure you pick up the flyer and the membership form, become a member, and come here January 8th, 6:30, the same hall, and give your contribution to Islam. Give your shukr to Allah by saying that it's about time we have become serious, and one of the ways that we want to tell Allah we are serious, that we want to give shukr to Allah, first and foremost in our houses, in our salat. And by giving shukr to Allah, we want to show it practically in action. How? By coming here and participating. I don't want to see that somebody tells me, on January 8th over here, there's only one line. Five people, six people. Wallahi, this is aib. That means we didn't learn from the lesson of the hadith of Rasulullah. Even if you do not want to participate, by your mere presence and showing up, is a taqwa, is an action of amal of shukr, is an action of solidarity, is an action of boost of morale for those who want to do something. At least they'll feel pleased. Because even if you don't want to do anything, by you showing up, you are boosting the spirits and morale and esteem of others who want to do. Because otherwise they'll be so depressed. They'll be so sad. That look, we try our best to arrange Jummah. And we try our best to collect funds, to build a masjid, and nobody shows up when it comes. Mark your calendars. Saturday, I believe. Saturday, January 6th, should be blocked off from 6 o'clock. January 8th. Saturday, January 8th should be blocked off on our calendars. From now, you have ahead of time, at least 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, you should have everything mu'attal, postponed. And if anybody asks you, please come for dinner to my house Saturday, January 8th. Sorry, brother. I am busy that day giving shukr to Allah. I'm busy that day. Because if you are busy in salat, somebody says, ha, khud, ta'am, food. Are you going to say, excuse me, Allah, I want to finish the food, then continue my prayer? No. Consider yourself in the halatul salat. When you are in prayer, when you have made a mind with Allah to give shukr, nobody should disturb you. May Allah give us the tawfiq to give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala da'iman wa abadan. And may Allah give us the tawfiq to make our tongues wet with the shukr of Allah all the time. May Allah give us the tawfiq to raise our children with iman and taqwa. And may Allah protect our children from the fitna and fasad of this balad and this bi'ah, inshaAllah. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منه والأموات إنك أنت سميع مجيب الدعوات عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يعمل العدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر